Welcome, welcome, one and all, to Empire Rates Back the Podcast. We're back at it. I'm John Franklin with my co-site expert, Sean Dyer. And Sean, biggest thing in the news recently has been the Yankees making a splash in the trade market and getting rid of, it's not the big part of the trade, but I just despise him, getting rid of Tyler Clippard. Thank God, good riddance. I said last week if he wasn't gone by this time, I would be livid and he would have been my go-away player of the week, but thank God he's gone. But Yankees making a big trade in the market, and you've been the trade guy, so why don't you give us a little inside information on it?
Yeah, so Brian Cashman, not waiting to the deadline to make his move 13 days prior to the July 31st deadline, he makes the big splash, gets David Robertson, Todd Frazier, and Tommy Canley from the White Sox, two relievers, and a third baseman slash first baseman. I think it's a big pickup. Robertson, Yankee fans know him. He was in our bullpen for 7 years, was a setup man for Mariano Rivera, then was a closer for 1 year before leaving him for agency. He's a great pitcher, great guy. He was having a great year for the Sox, 13 of 14 on save opportunities over there in Chicago. Obviously, not a lot of opportunities in Chicago to save closeout games, but there should be plenty in New York, we hope. He'll probably slide in the eighth inning before Chapman, after Betances. Canley's strikeout machine, 60 Ks in 36 innings with the White Sox, came in and pitched his Yankee debut the other day, 1-2-3 innings, struck out two. So he looks good so far. Obviously, small sample size with us, but he strikes out a lot of guys out. Like you said, Clippard, he goes to Chicago in the deal. So you lose your weakest link in the bullpen, and you add two pretty strong pieces. So the bullpen for the Yanks looks great. And then in terms of offensively with Todd Frazier, he's wasn't having his best year with Chicago, hitting around 200, but does have 16 home runs. Girardi said he'll play third base every day, sliding Headley over to first. He's going to get a crash course to try and learn that defensively. He's played there sparingly, so he has a little bit to work with, but he'll platoon over there with Garrett Cooper. But essentially what Frazier does is as you slide Headley over across the diamond, Frazier's basically replacing your first baseman, and we've said time and time again, anything would be an improvement over what the Yankees have gotten at first between the injured Greg Bird, Chris Carter, the injured Tyler Austin, G-Man Choi, as much as we loved him. He's been DFA'd since. But so you add a pretty big bat to your offense. Hopefully in Yankee Stadium, Frazier can hit more home runs than he was even hitting in U.S. Cellular. But I like the deal. Let's see what you think.
Yeah, I mean, my overall feelings are just that I love Robertson coming back. He has great stuff. His curveball is unbelievable, as we all know. It's one of his better pitches. Yeah. He's good secondary stuff to his primary stuff. I don't know much about Tommy Conley, but from what you've told me and from what I understand, a great strikeout pitcher will be a great middle inning guy to come in. The best part of this deal to me is adding good bullpen pieces to where our starting pitching, which has been the weakest part of this team, only really has to go 4 to 5 innings and hand it over to a bullpen that can go one inning apiece. What with now Adam Warren, Chad Green, you got Conley, Robertson, Betances, Chapman, the six guys. If they go in, theoretically, if each of those guys can go an inning in relief, you only need your starter to go three innings. I mean, ideally they'll go more,
right?
But it's just that knowledge of knowing your bullpen has the potential to be that good, to me, is the bright spot of this deal. And honestly, I'm a big homer, so I like the fact that Frazier comes to Yankee Stadium. You know, he has always wanted to be a Yankee, grew up in New Jersey.
Tom's River to the Bronx.
Which is just, you know, it's ideal.
Great story. I mean, you see the pictures of when he won the Little World Series. Yeah, next to Jeter. So it's, now he's in pinstripes. So yeah. And I think what makes Brian Cashman so good at what he does is he went out there, he looked for a starter. We were in talks for Jose Quintana, so he'd been talking with Chicago about other players for a while. He's out there monitoring the starting pitching market. Starting pitching nowadays is really expensive in terms of trading for one, in terms of prospects. So he went out there, didn't like the price tag on the starters, so does an expects thing and shortens the game and puts less pressure on the starters that he has. Like you said, you have Chapman, Betances, Robertson in 7, 8, 9. I don't know. I mean, you could argue that it's pretty similar, maybe even better than Miller, Betances, Chapman. Miller was awesome, but Robertson's been great this year. If you get Betances and Chapman back on track,
if they hit form, it's
you're playing six inning games there. And then, like you said, if your starter gets in trouble in the fourth, the fifth inning, you have Tommy Canley, Adam Warren, Chad Green to come in and put out the fire. And if you watch Andrew Miller when we sent him to Cleveland in the playoffs in the World Series last year, that's what Terry Francona did. Is when his starter got in trouble, no matter when it was, Miller would come in, put out the fire in that inning, go another inning or so, and then he went to his other back end guys. So the Yankees have three guys that can come in and put out these fires, which is great because Girardi doesn't like to overuse his relievers. So right. If you have Green pitch two innings one day, that's take fine. Next day, it's Warren and it's Canley. Yep. If you pitch guys a couple days in a row, you have other options to stick in there. And then obviously the back end is great. So I think Cashman did a great job. You could argue that he improved starting pitching without actually getting a starting pitcher.
Right.
By taking some of the load off those guys.
I agree. And, you know, just looking at the team as a whole right now, losing two games to the Sox was tough. I mean, they should have won three. They should have only lost one game. They did not deserve to win the last game of that series. They played well, but just a better performance by the Sox, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And, you know, the series with the Twins was tough to watch, especially the last game. They were playing good baseball in the first two games, then it wasn't even close in game three. The team is in need of something. Maybe this is a spark that it needs. Judge, obviously hitting a bit of a slump in this season. And
yeah, struggling. His first bump on the road.
Look, it happens to everyone, and you can't expect him to be perfect all the time, but you also can't be too upset. I understand what it's like. He's not batting out of the stadium anymore like he was. You know, he's not just putting up astronomical numbers, but also you guys have to realize that even though he hasn't hit a home run in the second half, he did hit a moonshot that just got brought back into the yard.
Jackie Bradley
just climbing the fence.
Literally just put his wings on and flew. It was crazy. And yes, like you mentioned, the one game we didn't deserve to win was that game where Judge
would have brought him
it would have been 3-2, and it's a whole other ball game.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. You look at his numbers, and it's like, oh, he's struggling. And yes, everybody's gonna go through their struggles, especially a rookie. Let's not forget, he's a rookie.
Yeah.
And we knew this was coming as much as we didn't want to believe it. And as superhuman as he looks and as he was performing, he's still human.
He's still a baseball player.
Baseball players go through their ups and downs. That's why nobody bats 1,000. Nobody bats 500. It goes up and down, and by the end of the year, you're about where you were throughout the whole year. So I think, he's going to go through his slump right now. That's why it's better he does it now when you have now Holiday and Castro back and now Frazier in the lineup. Because if this slump happened when Holiday and Castro and Hicks and all those guys were injured, the offense would have been just completely disappeared. So you need guys like Gary Sanchez to step up and fill the void there. Hopefully Todd Frazier can help too. And at some point, he's going to get back on track. If Jackie Bradley doesn't rob that home run,
that could be
this discussion may not even be a thing. Yes, if you add one hit to his average and one home run to his total, still not having a great start of the second half. But it just, if you have that one home run, it's like, okay, yeah, he's there. And the result wasn't there, but the swing was, and he crushed that ball. So I think
he is the one part of the park where Jackie Bradley could get to that ball.
Exactly. So I think there's signs that he's not just completely lost. He's struggling, and it happens, and he'll get back on track, as hopefully the whole Yankee team will.
Right.
With these additions, and hopefully they stay healthy.
And talking about additions, the Yankees have been in talks with the Mets, talking about possibly bringing in Lucas Duda or, you know, Addison Reed. I don't know. I don't think Duda is a necessity. I wouldn't mind a first baseman. Don't get me wrong. I would not mind a true first baseman, but Cooper has shown he's got a major league swing, I think. I mean, it hasn't been a lot of time, but if you put Headley there and Cooper isn't playing every day, switch hitter in the lineup, I don't think there's a huge need to shake things up even more by adding Duda to the lineup. I don't think it would be that big of a necessity. I don't even think Reed is that much of a necessity either.
Well, right. I mean, Brian Cashman has said that he's still monitoring the trade market after this White Sox trade. But if you look at the holes, I think the real hole is a starting pitcher. First base, like you said. Dude, I would love Duda. I think Duda would be, that left-handed swing would play great in Yankee Stadium.
But he's also a rental.
But he's a rental, but I think that's what the Yankees would need with Greg Bird hopefully coming back. But the Mets, good for the Mets to be shopping these guys and be in talks with the Yankees to get rid of these guys, and they hopefully will continue talking with other teams because they need to get rid of these guys. Duda and Reed, both rentals, so you got to get rid of them while you can. But definitely that White Sox trade with the Yanks, that hurt the Mets because that took one team away. It also hurt the Athletics because the Yankees were in talks for Yonder Alonso. The White Sox trade, for the most part, took a trade partner away from the A's and the Mets for their first baseman, because I think the Yankees are just going to stick with Frazier at third and hope between Headley and Cooper they figure it out at first. Because even if you're first base, if Headley keeps hitting like he's hitting, you had it where first base was a big weak spot and third base wasn't great. Now if you have first base isn't great, but third base can hit with Frazier, you'll be okay. Reed definitely not going to be a Yankee with the way the bullpen looks
like
now.
Yeah, absolutely not.
But these guys, the Mets should be shopping them. They should be shopping Granderson. Asdrubal Cabrera, there's been rumors that there have been talks with the Red Sox about sending him over there. They could use a third baseman. And Cabrera just said he will play third base. He's shortstop for the most part, but will play third. So, yeah, you got to trade these guys, especially Lucas Duda. He's a free agent, and he's a good player.
This is the only time you could get anything for Duda. Because he's going to walk next year.
Yeah, he's going to walk. And as good as he's been, there's no need to re-sign him because you have one of your top your number two prospect, Dominic Smith, the number one first base prospect in all of baseball, according to MLB.com, and he's ready. He's hitting around 330 in AAA. He only has 12 home runs, but scouts believe he's going to hit probably 20 home runs a season in the major leagues. Kid's a stud, and everybody's talking about Rosario, and I think Rosario deserves a call-up as well. But not a lot of talk about Dominic Smith, and he has, I think, no one really knows what the Mets are waiting for with Rosario and why he isn't up and playing shortstop for them. Right. I think it's pretty obvious what the Mets are waiting for with Dominic Smith. They're waiting for Lucas Duda to be traded. I think as soon as Duda is traded, in the next 10 days between now and the deadline, once Duda's shipped out, Smith will be up and it will play first base for the rest of the year and hopefully for Mets fans for the next maybe 10 years, because I think the kid is a stud. We just wrote a piece on the website, on Empire Writes Back, about Dominic Smith, and because we also talked about Rosario on the site and how he's ready, but we talked about Smith's ready as well. I think those are the bright spots for the Mets in this second half, is those two kids especially.
And you know, first base has been a question mark all year for both the Mets. Well, not really the Mets as a question mark, but whether or not they're going to trade Duda. And a question mark for the Yankees is who's going to start. But when we come back, we're going to give you our top five New York first baseman of all time. You won't want to miss it. Empire Writes Back. We'll be right back. And folks, we're back, and like I said, we're going to talk about our top five New York first baseman of all time. We figured it's a light week, not much going on, but you know, can't just sell a steak, you got to sell the sizzle. We got a little bit more going on here, so we're going to go 5-1, our top five New York first baseman of all time. Mets, Yankees, what have you, and you know, I'm going to kick things off. My number five, I'm going to go Tino Martinez, classic New York Yankee, my favorite Tino memory, of course. We all remember it. The ball that was probably a strike, and then pitch later, Tino goes yard to give the Yankees the uplift and win a game, I believe in the World Series. Tino was just a great player, likable guy, had the look, had the act. He knew how to do it, and I give him a lot of love in that sense. Number four, I initially had a Met, but I'm going to pull a little bit of an audible. Sean, you didn't expect it, but people forget that for a little while, Jackie Robinson played first base for the Brooklyn Dodgers, and that is a New York team. And I'm gonna give Jackie a little bit of love. He's coming in at number four, obviously, credited for breaking the color barrier in baseball. One of the most influential athletes of all time.
Number retired throughout MLB.
Number retired. They still dedicate a day to his number every year. You gotta love the guy. Super talented, of course, but also just a great all-around presence and just a great historical figure. Number three, Keith Hernandez. A bit of a Seinfeld fan, but also got to show the Mets some love. Keith, just one of the purest baseball players you could watch. Great swing, a gold glover at first base, just unbelievable. World Series champion. Really not much more to say about him, but he wasn't going to beat out the top two. I think these should be, everybody's top two, unless you're a Mets fan, I think, because Keith obviously has a special place in your heart. But top two for me, I'm going to go number two, Lou Gehrig, the Iron Horse. Of course, there's not much to really say about Lou Gehrig. The name just speaks for itself. Number four, number retired as a Yankee, Hall of Famer, just the embodiment of a baseball player, of a stand-up guy, and just a great all-around fielder and hitter. As we know, he was a great hitter, batting with Babe Ruth, who is arguably the best hitter of all time. So you got to give Lou Gehrig some love. And number one, Donnie Baseball. I was born in the 90s. Don Mattingly was a hero in the 90s for you Yankee fans out there. The captain before Jeter, the mustache, just the character of a Yankee. You knew you wanted to play with Don Mattingly every time you took the field as a fan and as a player. You just wanted to be with him. I actually just saw a video the other day, Don Mattingly managing for the Miami Marlins. A little girl, has a sign, and they're in batting practice, and it says, my middle name is Mattingly, after Don Mattingly. And he calls her down with her family, takes a picture, signs the sign for her. Just, you gotta love the guy. He's my number one. And Sean, why don't you take it away? Give us your top five.
All right, so coming at number five on my list is Mark Teixeira. Some of my real number one memory from Yankees World Series teams, obviously growing up in the 90s, I was like 2, 3, 4, 5 years old when the core four was winning championships. But 2009, they brought Teixeira over, signed a huge contract, and he lived up to it in 2009 especially. Hit a ton of home runs throughout his career as a Yankee. He hit a ton of, always had the power. Power was always there. He was one of more than most players, the shift in baseball, the infield shift, destroyed his average as a career. He was a great hitter back with the Angels and the Rangers and the Braves. He hit for average. Came over to New York and teams started putting the shifts on him. He would hit it into right field, but the second base would be sitting there. But the number one thing that everyone, I think most people know Teixeira for, is his glove. Unbelievable first baseman, gold glover many times. So he comes in at number five on my list. Recently retired also. Number four, you had him on your list, Constantine Tino Martinez. He honestly, I love Jeter, but Tino could be one of my favorite Yankees of all time. When Jeter was still playing and I looked back at the Yankees that were no longer playing, Tino was my favorite of all time.
Yeah.
Now that Jeter's gone, I miss him, and now he may be taking over and my list as favorite Yankees, but I love Tino. You mentioned all the playoff success, World Series success. He was great in the clutch. He comes in at number four. Number three, I'm also going to go to the Mets, Carlos Delgado. He was great hitter for the Mets. He hit a lot of home runs as well, 30-plus home runs a couple different years. He was great for those Mets teams. Number two, Donnie Baseball, like you mentioned, he was number one on your list. Great manager as well since retiring from playing. He was the captain, like you mentioned. Great player, great guy. And then number one, Lou Gehrig. Had to put Lou at number one. One of the greatest baseball players of all time, much less New York first baseman. You mentioned the number retired. Had the record for most consecutive games played before Cal Ripken broke that. He's just part of Murderer's Row with Babe Ruth, like you mentioned. It's tough to argue with, I mean, obviously you had him two and Mattingly one, but I think those two are the top. Lou Gehrig, one of the greatest baseball players of all time, much less just this list, so he's going to definitely be on a lot of people's lists for a lot of different things.
And we want to hear your list. Don't forget, you could comment below and let us know what you think. 5-1. If you think that any of the guys in this list deserve to be on your list, if you think they didn't deserve to be on our list,
hit us up on Twitter.
Yeah, let us know. Follow us on Twitter. Comment. Whatever. Subscribe. It doesn't matter. Just tell us. We love to hear your guys' opinion. And we're going to take a short little break. But when we come back, we're giving you our classic segments and one never-before-heard segment. You don't want to miss it. Empire Writes Back, folks. We will be right back. Stick it here. And we're back, folks. Once again, he's Sean Dyer. I'm John Franklin. And we're going to bring it to you a little bit, a new segment here that we call Hot Knot. I mean, pretty self-explanatory to me. Hot Knot, something or someone that's been doing something great over the past week, and someone, something that might be not doing something so great. So we're going to kick it off with the not segment, I think, first, because everybody just likes to end on a positive, in my opinion. Fair. So, Sean, you want to go with your not, kick things off?
All right, so my not for this week is going to be the Mets front office. And it's a twofold not so hot for them. One, the kids are not up yet. And two, the veterans are still here. Yes, they were in talks to trade Duda and Reed, but talks is not good enough. We need trades. We need these veterans out the door so there's room for these young kids to take over. Duda, especially these rentals, Duda, Reed, Cabrera's got one more year on his deal, but he should be gone. Jay Bruce, they should be able to get a pretty good return package for him. Granderson, you got to get rid of these guys so you can make way for the young kids, because this season, pretty much in the rear view in terms of play, and the playoffs are gone. It's the sad truth. It's over. I mean, even if you got healthy and got hot, there's too big a hole. The Nats are too far ahead, and then you got the NL West just dominating the wild card. So you got to get rid of the veterans, and then the kids. We mentioned Amed Rosario and Dominic Smith. If they got to, I predicted. My final thought was that week one. I think I said Amed Rosario would be up pre All-Star break. I was wrong.
You shouldn't have been.
That
should have been a guarantee.
Maybe I should have been right, but I wasn't. So he's still down there in Las Vegas.
With a jammed finger.
Yes, jammed his finger, which is just going to complicate things more, delay the process a little bit longer. But who knows? Maybe the Mets may not even had him plan to come up yet. But I think post-trade deadline, the veterans got to be gone. It's to the point where, if we're at, like, the clock's ticking down on July 31st and Lucas Duda is still a Met, you got to take whatever, prospect you can get, do it, get rid of him, make way for Dominic Smith. So the Mets front office, they are my not for the week, but hey, maybe if they could have a good week this week, trade some of these veterans and bring these guys up, maybe they'll be on the hot side coming up. But for now, not so much.
Well, my not is going to be just an absolute shot of the guys up in Beantown. We talk New York sports all the time, but how can you not start just trashing the Boston Red Sox a little bit? Even if they're in first place,
it's a hobby of most Yankee fans.
You just gotta love it. Red Sox, my not this week, Red Sox fans out there, the third base situation. Just, dear God, I mean, look, when they played the Yankees, Brock Holt was there, who, for some reason, had just a long stint with vertigo,
which is
remarkable that it kept him out as long as it did. But utility player at third base, who's your $48 million man in Pablo Sandoval, just couldn't lay off the Twinkies. He's just too fat to actually play Major League Baseball. And then you think you got a golden goose, you're going out and getting Todd Frazier, and he ends up in pinstripes as a New York Yankee. I mean,
worst possible scenario.
Really, there was no love for the Red Sox, the hot corner. At this point, it's the not corner, just for the situation. I know, horrible pun for you guys out there listening. But it's just a situation where you look at it, and I hate the Boston Red Sox.
As do I.
People listening, you should all hate the Boston Red Sox being New York fans. I kind of feel bad that they're having such a struggle with going out and paying so much money for Pablo Sandoval, but it's also so funny that it takes away all of my remorse. Like, it's so funny to know that the guy they went out and they thought was their ace in the hole at the hot corner was too obese to play the position. One of my favorite things is the gif of him rounding second base, and somebody put a piece of cake on second base, and he looks back for some reason, I think to check the throw, but it looks like he looks at the cake, and he tumbles. And it's so funny. And now he's a giant. He's gone now.
Back in San Fran, which is better for him, but he also had one where he took a cut, he swung the bat, and his belt popped.
Yeah, the belt
exploded. It snapped. I mean,
to be fair, though, like, credit the belt. It gave up on Pablo Sandoval before the Red Sox did. Like, the belt knew before the Boston Red Sox.
That was the telling.
Like, shout out Pablo Sandoval's broken belt. Wherever you are, you did it. You knew before everybody else did. But my not this week, without a doubt, Red Sox hot corner.
Yeah, it's a situation that's gotten worse. I mean, you have Sandoval. You paid him all that money. And you paid him to hit in the playoffs, because that was his MO with the Giants. Is he was a above average regular season hitter, but just turned on the playoffs and World Series. And Sox went to the playoffs last year. Sandoval was hurt all last year, so his Red Sox career is going to end with zero plate appearances in the playoffs, which is what you paid him all that money
You'll
for.
You'll love to see it.
I mean, good for him. He's going to make $48 million now go play in the minors for the Giants, and he could call it quits if he wanted and still make all that money.
That's
and
insane.
Just one more, just to shed a couple more tears from the Red Sox fans. You also had Travis Shaw, who was having
a borderline
all-star season in Milwaukee, close to 300 with
20-something home runs.
Close to 20 home runs. And that you got rid of him to bring in a reliever that has yet to pitch for you because he's been injured. Obviously, you can't predict injuries, but it just makes the matter worse for the Red Sox. And we always love to make the matters worse for the Red Sox.
That's nobody likes to make
something
the
we love to
better.
Do over here.
And I think just flip side, I'll go with my hot first. Shout out Evan Engram. You are my hot this week. I did not think when the Giants drafted Evan Engram, I didn't love the pick. I'll be completely honest. I didn't think it was a necessity. But he's shown some unbelievable talent. He's more of a wide receiver than he is a tight end.
Yeah,
he's a big body, but he's out there to be a skill player. I get it. And Eli Manning is going to be throwing the ball 40, 50 times this year, and I'm okay with it. If Ereck Flowers can protect that left side, I'm okay with Eli dropping back in the shotgun and throwing the ball 40, maybe 50 times a year, especially with Engram. He could be a really good slot tight end because people are forgetting the Giants brought in that tight end from Minnesota.
Red Ellison.
Yeah, who's gonna come in and block. And Engram got a shout-out from a Giant great this week, Mark Bavaro, saying that the kid's got some serious talent. So, you know, if he's going to go out there, play for us week in and week out, and he might not be running off the line, that might not be his strong suit, but if you're going to try to press cover him in the nickel, if you're going to try to press cover him in the slot, you can't. He's too big. He's got the size of a tight end. He really does.
He's a matchup nightmare.
Right, but his skill set is that of a wide receiver.
He's a very, very good blend of the two.
So I'm very high on him right now. So Evan Engram, shout out wherever you are. You are my hot. And Sean, why don't you give us yours?
All right, my hot. We talked about him a little bit earlier in the show. My hot is Brian Cashman. I'm sticking with the front office on both ends here. Brian Cashman, great job with the trade with the White Sox. I mentioned it before. Starting pitching was an issue. The solution wasn't really there for Cashman and the Yankees. Would have been a very expensive solution in terms of prospects. So instead, he goes ahead and just makes the bullpen. It was a bit of a weakness, and now it's a really, really good strength. One of the deeper bullpens in baseball should shorten the game a whole lot. Frazier, also a good bat in the middle of the lineup. And we didn't touch on it before, but what he gave up was Tyler Clippard, which he would have been gone regardless. If he's not involved in that deal, he's DFA'd today.
Yeah.
Because we bring in those. We saw Chase and Shreve just got sent down to the minors,
and he's been having a good season.
So Clipper easily would have been gone. So, but you are able to throw him in the deal. That's you. Now you get the Chicago to pay his salary for the rest of the year instead of having to cut him and pay him ourselves. And you give up Blake Rutherford. I'm a big fan of Blake Rutherford.
So am I. But
top 30 prospect in baseball. But we got a log jam in the outfield.
I was gonna say
Look at your corners should be set for about 10 years with Judge and Frazier, and you have Ellsbury, unfortunately, under contract for a while in center. Aaron Hicks looked like he could be a potential center fielder. If Dustin Fowler gets healthy, he could be your center fielder. So you didn't need Rutherford. I think what you got is worth it.
And you really got, I think, enough collateral for giving up.
Oh, it's enough to warrant giving up a prospect like that. And Frazier and Gleyber Torres are still with the organization, and all of your top pitching prospects are with the organization. You got rid of Ian Clarkin, who's a good pitcher, but he was playing, he was still in high A ball. He was in Aaron Judge's draft class, also in the first round with him. But again, he was a good pitching prospect, and he'll probably be, he's up, I think he's around like 18 in the White Sox list. But the Yankees had plenty of pitching prospects ahead of him, so that it's not a bad loss there. And I was a fan of Tito Polo. He's a good outfielder. But we got him in the deal for Ivan Nova, which at the time, the return for Nova was like, it's just a couple of prospects. We'll see what happens. So you turn one of them into this package. So I think it's a big win for Cashman on that front. He also has said he's going to continue to monitor the trade market, as I'm sure all general managers always do. So maybe more coming, maybe a first baseman, maybe a starter. But if this is it for the trade deadline from the New York Yankees,
good stuff.
Big win. Great job, Brian Cashman. You're on fire.
All right, there you go. And now we're going to go with our go away, please go away, please come back this week, I get the chance to give my comeback, because last week I went on my little Tyler Clippard rant, and thank God he actually
went away. And it
worked.
It went away.
Listened into Empire Writes Back. I get it, Brian Cashman. You like our expertise on these things.
Hopefully you heard my praise for him this week.
Yeah, so shout out. We hope you're listening in. But my comeback is, for you Mets fans out there, please come back 2015. The World Series, like, the Mets have been so bad this year, and they should have been so much better, but injuries have really plagued them, and I really do feel for you Mets fans. I do. I'm not trying to dig at you and say, please come back 2015, because those were the good times. They were the good times, and as a New York sports fan in general, completely taking out the fact whether I'm a Yankees fan or a Mets fan, as a New York sports fan in general, you love to see a New York sports team go to the championship in their respective sport. I don't care if I'm a Yankee fan or a Met fan. Seeing the Mets in the World Series, I watched and I rooted for them. Unfortunately, they didn't win, but it was exciting to know that New York baseball was going to be so good for a lot of years to come, it seems.
Because that rotation was supposed to just bolster the team for
a long time.
But it still may. But...
And then Cespedes came and decided to stay after that when they thought he was going to be a rental.
That was
when it kind of all struck in everybody's mind that this Mets team was going to be good for a long time. And just things happen where it doesn't work out like that. So my comeback is 2015, because I would love to see what this Mets team, the 2015 Mets team that went to the World Series looked like. Well, this Yankees team, if it were to get hot again, what New York baseball would be doing to Major League Baseball, because I'm sure it would have people going absolutely nuts thinking that the Yankees and the Mets were two of the top teams in baseball, because people don't like New York sports.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They hate it. On our back. So the hate, it builds, and I love being hated as a New York fan. So bring back 2015 for the New York Mets, because let the hate thrive here in New York.
Yeah, I think all New York fans would be totally down for a Subway Series, World Series.
Yes, like back in 2000. I would love it. I would love that.
It'd be exciting for baseball, and obviously New York would be buzzing. My go-away, I get the go-away this week. Last week, I told Mariano Rivera to come back. He didn't come back, but we did get some bullpen reinforcements as the Yankees. So this week, my go-away, I'm going to say go-away Carmelo Anthony. And this isn't really directed towards Carmelo. It's directed towards the Knicks front office. Scott Perry is the new general manager, and you have Steve Mills, got his promotion. Carmelo, I think he's a great player, and I've touched on how I think he's underappreciated in New York. But it's time to go, and the front office needs to do the same and tell him to go away. Move him, if it's the Rockets, if it's the Cavs. Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum are saying that he's now interested, that Melo's interested in coming to the Trailblazers. I don't think that's going to happen, but regardless of where he goes, he needs to get out of New York.
Mm-hmm.
So, Carmelo, if you're listening, if you're sitting next to Brian Cashman listening to our podcast.
Of course.
I'm not yelling. I'm not telling you. This isn't against you to go away. I think you agree. You definitely agree. He said he's frustrated. He doesn't want to play with the Knicks. He was frustrated that the trade talks with the Rockets broke off. But he's confident that he's going to get a deal done. He'll be gone. He doesn't want to play for New York. And I don't blame him.
It's
a team in transition. It's a young team with centered around international guys, for better or for worse. And he's in the back end of his career. He's on the back nine. He's looking for a championship, and it's not going to come with the Knicks. So
no.
I go away, enjoy wherever you go.
But happy trails.
Yes, happy trails. Go away and enjoy yourself. Hopefully you have a good career wherever you go, and come back to New York and show off your championship ring, maybe.
That's right. And now we're going to end things like we always do with our final thoughts. Sean, I'll kick things off this week just because I have it ready. I'm excited to say it. My final thought is thinking way in advance. But we're going to look back when it happens. I'm very confident. Eli Manning loves his tight ends. Evan Ingram is apparently the guy right now, and he's a big body matchup nightmare. Evan Ingram leads the league in touchdown receptions.
Wow. It's a bold move.
It's going to happen. Eli Manning loves his tight ends. Eli Manning has always been a guy to throw to his tight ends in the red zone. And, you know, Odell, as good as he is, his red zone presence isn't that great because of his size.
Yeah,
yes, his jump.
And the attention's there. All the coverage is going
right
that way.
You try to put like a nickel corner over the top of Ingram and inside the red zone, lose that battle 9 times out of 10. You just got to put the ball in his hands. So I'm saying Evan Engram, shout you out again. You're going to lead the league in touchdowns this year. And when it happens, you can give me a phone call and say thank you for having faith.
You can come on the show.
We'll interview you. We'll willingly interview you. We're a very hot commodity now, but we'll willingly interview
you. We'll interview you about your season. He's too quick for linebackers to cover and too big for DBs to cover. So
matchup nightmare.
Yeah, matchup nightmare. And look at Eli. Eli Manning made Kevin Boss and Jake Ballard and exactly. Barrett Pascal look like studs.
He made Jake Ballard into the guy he was before he went to the Pats and decided to smoke pot.
So Eli can turn less downs to tight ends and put up decent numbers. So he should have fun with Engram. I think the offense, Giants offense, should be exciting to watch this year. My final thought, I think most of our show so far has been baseball. I want to stick with it. I'm going to say in the next week, we'll say before the trade deadline, so we got about 10 days, Aaron Judge gets hot and hits at least 3 dingers and gets back on track. That. And sticking with the Yankees, I think Cashman's got one more trade in him. I don't know what it's going to be. I find it hard to believe that he's going to pull off the big starter like the Sonny Gray or the Garrett Cole. But I think maybe a mid-rotation guy, just eat up innings. Because you could have...
Like a plug-and-play starter.
Yeah, right. Because you could have stuck with what you had until Pineda went down with Tommy John.
Right.
Because now you actually have a hole in there. Because Sessa hasn't been great. Mitchell, you're throwing in prospects, which
right.
could work. It'll get you to the playoffs in a wild card spot. But if you want to win this division, I think you need a little bit more from that last starter. So maybe he gets a starter. Maybe it's a rental first baseman. Maybe it's Duda still. Who knows? But I think Judge gets hot, and the Yankees add one more piece.
All right. Well, those were our final thoughts, folks. Let us know what you think. Please feel free to interact. Come at us on social media. Comment below. We don't care. We love to hear what you have to say. Once again, I'm John Franklin, co-side expert with Sean Dyer. And don't forget to follow Empire Rights Back on everything. We are on Facebook. Just search us, Empire Rights Back. We put out our articles every day on Facebook. Be sure to give us some clicks. Twitter, @ Empire Rights Back. Spell it, BCK. And, you know, we're also on any sort of social media, the Twittergram or whatever you call it. Sean, he's @ Sean R. Dyer on Twitter. And I am @ Hey, It's Franklin 6 on Twitter. Folks, that's going to do it for us here. Let's put this one in the books.